Ever heard of a situation where someone could be more guilty of a crime than the person who actually committed it?
Oh, wow.
Sounds wild, right?
Yeah.
Well, today we're diving into Ward v. Maryland,
Okay.
a case that went all the way to Maryland's highest court and grapples with that very question.
Interesting.
Buckle up because we're about to unpack a fascinating legal battle over accomplice liability.
It's a really intriguing case,
Yeah.
and what makes it even more unique is Maryland's legal landscape.
Okay.
Unlike most states, Maryland still relies on common law rules for accomplice liability, which plays a pivotal role in the outcome of Ward v. Maryland.
So let's set the stage here.
Okay.
We have a murder case where the two individuals who actually committed the crime,
Great.
Harry Brockman and David Maness,
Okay.
pled guilty to second-degree murder.
Got it.
But then we have James Ward,
Okay.
who is accused of being an accessory before the fact
Interesting.
and is facing a first-degree murder indictment.
Wow.
How is it possible that someone who didn't even commit the act could face a more serious charge than the actual murderers?
To understand this, we need to break down some legal terminology.
Right.
The term accessory before the fact might sound like something from a history book,
Yeah.
but it's a critical distinction in legal terms.
I see.
Essentially, it means that someone was involved in the planning or encouragement of a crime, but wasn't physically present when the crime took place.
Right.
Think of it like the mastermind behind a bank robbery.
Mm-hmm.
They might not be the ones cracking the safe,
Yeah.
but their role in the plan makes them equally culpable in the eyes of the law.
That makes sense.
Right.
But how does Maryland's reliance on common law factor into this?
Yeah.
Could you shed some light on the difference between first and second degree murder in this context?
Of course.
Okay.
First degree murder requires premeditation, meaning the killing was planned and intentional.
Got it.
Second degree murder, while still involving malice, lacks that element of premeditation. Now,
Yeah.
under common law, an accessory can be held equally responsible as the person who committed the crime. However, and this is crucial,
Okay.
they cannot be convicted of a higher degree of crime than the principal offender.
So even if the prosecution believes Ward was the mastermind behind the murder,
Yeah.
his potential conviction is capped at second-degree murder because that's what Brockman and Magnus pled guilty to.
Precisely.
Okay.
That cap on accessory liability is the core principle at play in this case. No matter how much premeditation the prosecution tries to attribute to Ward,
Right.
his charge cannot exceed the level of the principal offender's convictions.
I see.
That's a key takeaway here.
It definitely highlights the intricacies of accomplice liability,
Yeah.
especially with these common law rules in play.
Absolutely.
But if that's the case,
Yeah.
why wasn't Ward's indictment immediately thrown out?
Right.
It specifically mentioned premeditation, which is a key element of first-degree murder.
Right. That's a great question. In Maryland, murder is treated as a single crime with different degrees.
Okay.
The indictment needed to allege murder, generally not a specific degree. The degree would be determined at trial based on the evidence.
I see.
So even though the indictment mentioned premeditation,
Yeah.
it wasn't automatically invalid.
So the state still had a case to pursue.
Right.
What happened next? Did they just accept this dismissal and move on?
Not at all.
Okay.
The state appealed the decision, arguing that there absolutely can be an accessory to second-degree murder under Maryland law.
Interesting.
They weren't letting this one go.
It seems like they were saying that even if there's no premeditation,
Right.
there's still culpability in a murder plot.
Exactly.
Okay.
And this is where Maryland's unique approach to accomplice liability really comes into focus.
Okay.
The state's argument relied on the fact that second-degree murder still requires what's called malice
Well,
aforethought.
as a forethought.
This doesn't necessarily mean cold, calculated premeditation,
Right.
but it does mean there was an intent to kill or cause serious harm.
So the state argued that even if Ward didn't plan every detail,
Right.
his alleged involvement demonstrated intent to cause harm,
Exactly.
which satisfies the malice aforethought requirement for second-degree murder.
Precisely.
Okay.
And the Court of Appeals agreed with the state.
Wow.
They ruled that the indictment against Ward, despite mentioning premeditation,
Yeah.
was sufficient to encompass the charge of accessory to second-degree murder.
So that's a win for the state.
Yes.
Did the case finally go to trial after that ruling?
Not quite. We're
Yeah.
talking about Maryland's highest court here,
Well,
the
yeah.
Court of Appeals.
Okay.
Their role is to clarify the law and ensure it's applied correctly.
Yeah.
They were focused on the bigger picture, the implications of Maryland's common law approach to accomplice liability.
Okay.
They sent the case back to the lower court to be retried with clear instructions on how the law should be applied in these types of cases.
Essentially a do-over with new rules in place.
You could say that the Court of Appeals effectively stated that charging someone as an accessory to second-degree murder is permissible in Maryland.
That's right.
However, you can't exceed the limits set by the principal offender's convictions.
Right.
Ward's potential conviction is capped at second-degree murder, period.
I bet.
That's the key takeaway from this back and forth.
Yeah.
They sent the case back for a retrial with these guidelines.
What a journey.
It is.
This whole case really demonstrates how tricky it can be to balance these old school legal principles with the complexities of modern crimes.
Yeah.
I imagine this case has significant implications for lawyers and law students in Maryland.
Absolutely.
Particularly as criminal activity continues to evolve and become more intricate. You're absolutely right. This case really shines a light on the potential challenges that arise when applying common law principles to modern day crimes.
Yeah.
While Ward v. Maryland provided some much needed clarity, it also exposed potential areas where this strict adherence to common law might create difficulties.
Exactly. Think about how most states have moved away from this rigid distinction between principles and accessories.
Right.
They've adopted more modern legal frameworks that recognize the complexities we see in criminal activities today.
So in a sense, while Ward v. Maryland was a win for the state in clarifying the law, it also revealed a possible weakness in the system.
Right.
As crimes evolve and become more intricate, clinging to common law might not always be the most effective or just approach.
That's a valid point.
Yeah.
Imagine a sophisticated cybercrime involving multiple people where it's difficult to pinpoint the primary offender.
Right.
Or consider a large-scale conspiracy where individuals play different roles but all contribute to the criminal enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
Applying Maryland's common law system to these scenarios could prove challenging.
It definitely makes you think about how these seemingly historical legal debates have real-world consequences for how crimes are prosecuted and defended in Maryland.
Absolutely. And for legal professionals in Maryland, understanding these nuances is paramount.
Yeah.
Prosecutors need to carefully consider how they frame charges in accomplice liability cases, knowing that the principal's conviction will set the upper limit.
Right.
On the other hand, defense attorneys have a strong argument if the state attempts to overcharge an accessory based on these common law principles.
It sounds like Ward v. Maryland, complex procedurally, serves as a crucial reminder of a fundamental legal principle in Maryland.
Absolutely.
Your guilt as an accessory is ultimately tied to the principal offender.
Right.
No matter how involved you might have been in the planning stages, you can't be found guilty of a higher degree of crime than the person who carried out the act.
Precisely. And that brings us to a final thought-provoking question. As technology continues to advance and criminal activity becomes even more complex, how will Maryland's unique approach to accomplice liability fare? Will there be a need to re-examine these common law principles in light of these new challenges? It's something to consider.
Definitely food for thought. Well, there you have it, our deep dive into the fascinating case of Ward v. Maryland.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that sometimes the most engaging legal battles are the ones that make us question the very foundations of our legal systems.
I agree.
Thanks for joining us. And we'll see you next time for another deep dive into the intricacies of the legal world.